Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Now here's our subject that we'll be dealing with: preparing for your outpouring. Preparing for your outpouring. Preparing for your outpouring. Making preparations for your outpouring. Everybody say, my outpouring. All right, we're going to study this. The Spirit of God spoke to me, and that would be an outpouring. Particularly, that was going to be an outpouring in October. October is going to be an incredible month for us. It's going to be an incredible month for us because of a responsibility that we have. I believe this year we'll have more pastors than ever. More people have talked to me about coming in October than ever. And our church has a responsibility in the body of Christ to train, to motivate, to minister to other churches. And for that, God is going to pour out on us an outpouring of favor is going to come on our lives because of our obedience. Oh, you didn't hear me. Got to get this. Now, first of all, you got to understand, I ain't gonna fabricate no word from the Lord, because I ain't gonna get in trouble with God. I really believe in God. See, I really believe in God. Now, God told me to tell the people prepare for an outpouring. That's going to be, and I believe that there will be an outpouring on the people who come in October. I think we're going to see something this year we've not seen in the past. There's going to be an outpouring. Now, we've had supernatural moves of God. Those of you who have not attended some of those services, we've had supernatural moves of God where the Spirit of God manifested himself in such a powerful way, folk couldn't move. We shut the service down and nobody wanted to leave. I mean, and so, you know, we always go from grace to grace and from glory to glory. And so this year, God told me that there's going to be an outpouring in October. But also know there's going to be an outpouring on us for our obedience, for doing what he wants us to do in this. We cannot put the conference on by ourselves. We can't. We need everybody to help this year. Everybody to do something. Everybody to come. And I'm telling you, God has promised that he's going to do something for us. And we're going to study. We're going to begin to study outpourings now. But he's going to do something in our lives, follow me, because of our commitment to this outpouring that's going to happen in October. That's going to take your life to a whole nother level. So I'm starting this whole series today because when God speaks to me, he always gives it to me in part. And then I got to pray and study, and then he speaks and reveals the rest of it to me. All right. So I've been studying ever since God spoke to me about this outpouring that's going to do in October, and I got to get your faith stirred. And so our text is about a particular outpouring that happens with the tithe, that God does move and he does pour out blessings. All right. Our purpose for the lesson today is really to stimulate your faith, so that you can believe for a divine intervention into your situation. And outpouring from God can change your situation. And so as we study this, we want to give respect to the prophetic word that came forth. And we also want to know, what are we to do? Today is about a revelation on outpourings. God helped me go through the scripture and to study them. Here's my 3 points for today. Point number one is the biblical revelation on outpourings. Point number two is the believer's right to an outpouring. And point number three is the bold response or receiving of an outpouring. Biblical revelation, the believer's right, and the bold receiving. Now, I have great respect for the prophetic voice from the Lord. It is a voice that will always agree with the promises of God. In other words, there will be nothing said prophetically that you cannot back up with scripture. Secondly, it activates the power of God. Once it's spoken, life is given to it. Thirdly, the prophetic voice alerts the people of God to what's coming, so they can get in faith to receive. Or many times they can get in faith to repent or whatever they need to do. Then finally, the prophetic voice announces the plan of God. If there is some plan that God wants to implement, that prophetic voice will declare it. And so we're going to look at how outpourings in the Bible were declared prophetically before they ever took place. In the text, we're looking at the prophet Malachi. And prophet Malachi is making this bold declaration that God is going to pour. And when he talks about you, he's not only talking about the nation, but he's talking about an individual. That to that individual that will honor God with the tenth, that he says, I'm going to make sure that I pour you out a blessing. We're going to look at other prophets who made outpouring declarations and how God honored them. Now let's give a definition for outpourings. In the context of this lesson, an outpouring is a divine move of God, of an overflowing discharge of kingdom blessings. A divine move of God, of an overflowing discharge of kingdom blessings. Of protection, of power, of provisions that hold tipping point potential. I know that's a new word for us, new phrase for us. Everybody say tipping point, tipping point. Tipping point potential. A divine move of God, of overflowing discharge, of kingdom blessings, of protection, of power, of provisions. That whole tipping point potential that causes the lives of those who receive it to never be the same. Amen. The answer to your situation is an outpouring from the Lord. The answer to your situation, regardless of what it is an outpouring from the Lord. We will see as we study that there are seasonal outpourings, strategic outpourings, and there are specific outpourings. We're going to look at this. We've never studied outpourings before. I mean, I've never done a series on outpourings. I mean, never been instructed by God to do it, but I'm in this one now, and he's showing me so much about it. But as we look at it, we're going to see that there's this outpouring. So once something happens, well, with an outpouring, it simply changes the landscape. It changes the dynamics. All right? Outpouring by the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to talk you through. We'll study it. But after the showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, where the prophet called down fire and then slew all the prophets of Baal, God, people repented. Then the prophet says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It had not rained in over 3 years. But he says, without a cloud in the sky. He says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Everybody looking at him crazy, like, what? Simply because the prophet will see what others don't see, and they will hear what others don't hear. So they declare in advance before there's any sign.
Amen.
Now, I got a prophetic word years ago. Oh, my God, it had to be, what, in the 90s. I got the prophetic word years ago, really before the 90s, because we started really before multiple locations. I declared multiple locations. Everybody looked at me like it's crazy. Like, what? One church, multiple. Like, what is wrong with him? Now, all over the country, you got one church, multiple locations. See? I heard God. I declared it. Now, because I saw what they didn't see. I heard what they did not hear. And as a prophet, you do that. You're going to encounter some persecution, but that's okay. You follow me? You see, and I tell everybody, I heard from God, they heard the echo. Got it? So it is with this outpouring I'm telling y'all about. You got it? Now, God says he's getting ready to, be an outpouring of favor on your life. That's going to totally transform your life. Amen. And I got to get you in faith to receive.
Amen.
Amen. Doors that have been closed going to open. So the prophet, he declares this outpouring of rain. He prays and the rain comes. There's another outpouring prophesied by the prophet Joel. And of course, in Acts chapter 2, it comes to pass when Peter on the day of Pentecost stood up as the power of God, outpouring of God's power came. And on the day of Pentecost, and it says that this is the outpouring that Joel, the prophet Joel, had talked about. Another outpouring that we're going to look at during the course of this study is the outpouring. It's an individual outpouring that came on David. David was one of the sons of Jesse. The Bible says God told the prophet Samuel to go and find one of the prophets, one of the sons of Jesse, to anoint him to be king. Jesse parades all of his other fine boys before the prophet, and the prophet says, nope, these not the ones. He says, is there anybody else? Yeah, there's one kid, you know, one little kid. We don't include him in too much because he was the child of a concubine. Y'all explain that to your children. See, I'm nice today. Got children in here. I'm nice. Yeah. And so, nobody want to fool with David. But, okay, we'll go bring him in. Brings him in, and the prophet sees him. The Spirit of God speaks to him, and there's an outpouring of oil on him. Not only the oil comes on him, but the Bible says, and from that day forward, the Spirit of God rested upon him. Another outpouring we're going to study as we look at this whole study is the outpouring that came over Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, prophesied by the prophet Jehaziel. He's the one that's told everybody, you stand still today. The battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. You're going to see the power of God hit this place. And it did. And the Bible says, as they were praising, they didn't even have to fight the folk. The Bible says, as they began to praise him, that the Lord set ambushments against them. Outpouring of his power, all right? Another outpouring of power we'll look at is Moses. And how Moses, every time they got in a situation, Moses would cry out to God, and God would pour out his power on the people. He would pour out blessing on them. So we'll look at the outpouring, and then we'll look at the outpouring of Jesus. He was a prophet. He functioned as a prophet, Old Testament prophet. And he spoke of the outpouring of authority, that he would give us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. There is a divine purpose to these outpourings. Number one, an outpouring will abort hell's harassments. An outpouring will abort hell's harassments. And many of you are being tormented by the forces of darkness. And there's an outpouring just for you. There's an outpouring that addresses human hurts. When we are under physical attack, there's an outpouring. Look at the person that said, you need an outpouring. Come on. There's an outpouring that's assigned to honor our hopes. That is, that the power of God to bring to pass the things that we are in faith for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And there's an outpouring that will address our hopes, assigned our hopes. And then there's an outpouring that's just simply an overflow of the administration of God's heart, that he just wants to bless us. So when we look in the Bible, we see that God ministers to us through outpourings. Amen. Now, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And look with me in verses 1, verse, 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. An outpouring, though from the Lord, does not always fall from heaven with a natural manifestation, but occurs many times with a spiritual overshadowing that positions individuals to help you, prompts incidents, and produces ideas that will cause a transformation. You know, this whole part is to get you conscious of God's power working in your life. If we don't watch it, we'll get caught up in the world so much that we will forget that we have access to God's power. We'll forget that we have a covenant right to the power of God. We don't watch it. I mean, we do. When we get so busy, you know, reading, you know, periodicals and all that sort of thing, and we get caught up in the natural to the point that we will forfeit our supernatural heritage. That's why coming here is so important, because many times somebody has to stir you up and get you back focused on the spiritual covenant that we have that causes transformation in our lives. You know, it's many times it doesn't necessarily happen with a person falling on the floor or anything like that. But there's an overshadowing that takes place with a revelation that causes you to know down in your knower things are about to change. Things have not changed at that moment, but you know things are about to change. You know, when years ago when we were building two buildings, and the banker told me that they weren't going to help us with one of the buildings. We had money in the bank and everything, and this guy just wasn't going to lend us the money, and that's because he thought our project was ambitious. I remember telling him, man, you don't hold the key to my destiny, man. Amen. That's just how I talked to you. You don't hold the key to my destiny. And I just told him, I said, we're going to build this. We're going to build both of those buildings. See, something came over me. And I told him, I said, if we have to build it a brick a day, God give us enough bricks and he give us enough days, we're going to get through. Now watch this. I still didn't have a loan. I still didn't know where I was going to get the money from. But I had this overshadowing. I was overshadowed, you know, with this anointing of God on my life for the project. And I just knew it. Well, see, that's what has to happen in your life as we study this whole idea of overshadowing. That's some situation that you're facing, that as you get revelation on it, you're going to go, uh-huh, yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Come on. Amen. Amen. All right, now, 2 Peter chapter 1. Y'all a little slow on me this morning, but that's all right. I'm working with you. All right. Look there in verse 12. It says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or necessary, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's what I'm doing today. My assignment today is to stir you up that there is an outpouring from God for your situation that will cause your life never to be the same. Wish I had a better amen, but I'm going to work on it. All right. There are covenant blessings that we have a right to that many times we forfeit under pressure. And we forget that God is committed to us regardless of the natural circumstances that we face. Amen. Amen. You see, I had a pastor friend of mine, and one of the guys at AIM, and he had a stroke, heart attack. And he was in bad shape in the hospital, and his family called me, and he was all crying on the phone, that sort of thing, saying all what the doctor said. And I have appreciation for that. And pretty much they were almost giving him up. I said, oh, no. As long as there's breath in his body, we got a chance for a miracle. I said, now what your daddy don't need is y'all giving him up. What he needs is y'all holding on. He needs y'all to be in faith. And then on the phone, I just began to declare, in the name of Jesus, I come out, speak to his body, speak to his mind. Because they say he had been without oxygen for 30 minutes and all that kind of stuff. I have an appreciation for that. But I know we got another power at work. And boy, after I finished talking to him, I could tell something happened on the phone. All right, Bishop. And then in not many days, but several, about 2 or 3 days later, they called and said, Bishop, they took him off of, he's breathing on his own. They took him off of life support. See, I'm just telling you, in a time of attack and challenge, if you don't watch it, you will put all of your trust and all of your stock in what some man says or what some statistics say. Now, I'm not ignorant of what's going on. And I'm not in denial that the economy is where it is. But see, I remember reading in the Bible where the economy was bad in Egypt. But in Goshen, everything was all right. Now, you know, Goshen was where the children of Israel were. That was the suburb of Egypt. And everything was all right. They had a plague over in Egypt, but did nothing happen in Goshen. And I want to tell you, I live in Goshen. I got my spiritual Goshen, understand? Go with me to Bibles. Now, I got to put you in remembrance of some things right now. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. We have a covenant right to divine prosperity. Congress cannot veto it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. Look at the person and say, I will always have more than enough. All right, watch this. Verse 18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware to thy fathers as it is this day. God gives me power to make money. Oh, y'all ain't get that. God's working with me, giving me. I'm not out here trying to make money by myself. God helps me make money. So I will always have enough. I had enough to fill up my tank. Years ago, when gas was 25 cents a gallon. Now, some of y'all look at me like, what? You have to go back to the 70s for that. I used to fill up my car on the way from Austin, Texas. From UT. She used to ride with me, too. She's going to Houston Tillerson. I'd fill up 25 cents a gallon. And I remember when they said, gas is going to go up to 30 cents. Everybody went, oh, my God, 30 cents a gallon. Oh, my God. So you got to understand who you are and that you have a commitment from God. I don't care if gas is $6 a gallon. I'm going to have enough to fill my tank up. Can I get a witness in this house? Proverbs 10:22. I know you already know it. I'm just trying to stir you up today. That's my assignment, to stir you up. I got to get you in remembrance of who you are. I dare you putting on worry about the economy and all that sort of thing. My God supplies all my needs. Verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord did make it rich, and he added no sorrow. Now, either we're going to believe the Bible or we're not. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, go with your Bible to Psalms 107. Psalms 107, verse 20. We have a divine right. We have a right to divine healing. We have a right to divine healing. Many of you are facing sickness and disease. You're facing a challenge because you got a bad report. You're facing things that you're seeing your body not functioning like it once did. And if you're not careful, you'll drift over into just being governed and guided by what the doctor says. Amen. Amen. But we have the chief physician. Amen. And you need to be reminded. Verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Everybody say, he sent his word. Amplify says, he sent forth his word and heals them and rescues them from the pit and destruction. So I got to understand now, yes, I got a bad report from the doctor, but that's not the final report. There is an overpowering, there's an outpouring from the Lord. Amen. That can satisfy, that can cure, that can heal, that can deliver me from whatever has attacked my body. There's a track record in the Bible that Jesus healed them all. Oh, Jesus. Now, I know some of y'all may not need it right now, but I'm saying to them, some of y'all got happy on the money part, but there's some folks that I don't need no money right now, real. And when I started reading Malachi, they go, oh my God, we're going in Malachi. They didn't know where I was going on this, understand? But I'm talking about the outpouring. I'm talking about the outpouring you need to reverse the situation in your body. Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I have a divine right to healing. I got a divine right to healing. It's my right. Everybody say it's my right. See, when you get a revelation on this, you get a little swag about you. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I understand. I understand what the doctor said. I'm going to take my medicine. But as I take my medicine, I understand this word is medicine to my flesh. So I'm going to confess this word over my life. I'm going to confess this word over my body. I am going to believe the end result of this word. No, I'm not going to prepare to die. I'm preparing to live. I'm not going to get into fear. Amen. Isaiah 53. Are you there? Oh, look at verse 5. Says, verse 4. Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. Let me just pause right here. He has borne our what? Griefs. And he carried our what?
Sorrows.
He's borne our
griefs.
And he carried our
sorrows.
That's why you don't need to grieve. I know, you know, the sociologists and the psychiatrists, they say, you know, you have to grieve. You got to go through a grieving period. Not me. I choose not to grieve. But then you love, yeah, I love them, but he bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. I do not have to be depressed. I am not going to be depressed. I don't care what happened. I'm not going to be depressed. I don't have to be depressed. I make a choice. He said, let not your heart be troubled. So I'm not going to let my heart be. I am not going to be troubled. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going there. My choice. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. So therefore, I'm not going to waste any time tormenting myself over the mistakes I made in the past.
Yes.
Did I make some mistakes? Yes. Am I sorry about some of the mistakes? Yes. I can't go back and undo them, but look, I got news. The good news is, watch this. He was, oh, come on, class. What happened for my transgressions? He was wounded for my transgression. He was wounded for my transgression. He already paid the price. He was wounded for the abortion. He was wounded for the lies. He was wounded for all of the backbiting. He was wounded. He already paid the price. I'm free. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are what? We're what class?
Yeah.
We're healed. All right. Go over your Bibles now to Luke chapter 10. No. Jeremiah 30. I am not going to rush that. Jeremiah 30. Somebody needs this. Jeremiah 30. Because you need to, you've been looking your body and your body on the decline, and you need to understand God says, I'll do something for you. Look at verse 17. I will restore health unto thee.
Hallelujah.
I will restore health unto thee. Your body's been attacked by sickness and disease. And your health's been on the decline. I got a word from the Lord for you today. He says, I will restore health unto you. Don't you think you're going to always be taking pill after pill, going to doctor after doctor. There was a time in your life and a season in your life when you were not bound by the doctor, were not having to go there. He says, I'm not getting too excited for y'all. I will restore health back to you. Yes, indeed. Now heal all your wounds. That's what he says. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. You have a covenant right to divine authority. I know you know it. I know I've taught you, but I got to put you in remembrance of it. Because what happens in the challenges of life, many times we forget. We forget and we act like we never heard it. And the time that you waste when you are not exercising your right is valuable time that you're letting the devil get the toehold. And we're not going to let that happen. Amen, amen. All right, Luke chapter 10. Are you there? Isn't it good to remember what you, who you are? Amen. All right, watch this. Look at this outpouring. Verse 17. And the seven returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power. 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 You don't have to get church. Behold, I give you power. Too many days left from 1 week to Sunday. You may not be able to get here. But behold, I give you, you can handle that right where you are. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Watch this. And nothing. And nothing. And nothing. And nothing. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you got to choose to believe it. You got to choose to believe, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not. I'm going to tell the devil what he got to do. He got to get out of my house. He got to get out of my life. He's got to get out of my finances. He's got to go. I have authority over him. I am not afraid of him. He's more afraid of me when he knows who I am. Psalmist says, I will fear no evil. Ooh, isn't that good? Isn't that good? I will fear. Ooh, yes. I will fear. Try to put a hex on me if you want to, wasting your time. I fear. No voodoo, no hoodoo. Cannot curse me. I've been blessed. You cannot curse what has been blessed. You are wasting your time. I know who I am. There has been an outpouring that protects me from your hoodoo, from your voodoo, from your hexes, from your curses. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. My time. Hebrews chapter 10. Oh my God, y'all, my time. Hebrews chapter 10. So I have confidence in these outpourings from God that will protect me. I have confidence. Here's my confidence. My confidence is based on something. Everybody say my confidence. Now, the Bible wouldn't tell me not to throw in my confidence. It was not possible. I would be tacked in the area of having confidence in God. Will he come through? Will he help me? Will he address my situation? The answer is
yes.
I got a good church this morning. All right, look there in verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of what? Patience. After you've done the will, you might receive the promise. So my confidence, number one, is based on, it's a matter of promise. He promised it. God promises and he cannot lie. He promised he'd come through for me and he can't lie. Number two, my confidence is a matter of prophecy. The prophetic voice said it. And the Bible says, if I'll listen to the voice of the prophet, that I will prosper. So I see the prophecy in the word of God. That's what caused me to trust the tithe years ago, is because I saw it in the word of God. My confidence is a matter of principle. That is, God has set forth principles in the earth. And he says, heaven and earth will pass away before his word will fail. So I'm trusting the principle in the word of God. It's a matter of my petition. And he said, call unto me and I will answer. And he will show me great and mighty things that I would know not. So I'm understanding, I've got confidence, but now my confidence is not some blind hope out here. My confidence is not based on hype. My confidence is based on the promise, the principle, the prophecy, and the petition. I know God must come through because he must honor his word. Can I get a witness in this house? Now go to Hebrews chapter 4. So now I take, my attitude is one of a boldness to receive an outpouring. I'm going to have mine. Y'all may not get yours. I mean, he said that he was getting ready to release an outpouring for us. I know that's going to be an outpouring that takes place in October. But I ain't waiting for October. No, I'm going to say it. October's outpouring, I think, is very dynamic. I know it's going to be an outpouring for those who help in the conference. I mean, because we make happen for others, God make happen for us. I know that's a corporate outpouring that's going to happen. There's an outpouring that's going to happen for the people who come. But I'm studying outpourings, and I see I don't have to wait. I thank God for that prophetic outpouring, but that's some principle promises outpourings that I'm gonna keep. I'm gonna tap in right now. And then whatever happens in October, that's just gravy. Now I'm gonna get my faith stirred up for a move of God in my situation now that will be a tipping point. Everybody say tipping point. Tipping point. That means when it happens, I will never be the same. Okay. Hebrews chapter 4. That's what I tell you. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Amplified says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures. Have we failed it? Yes. Have we done everything we're supposed to do? No. But we got mercy. Everybody say mercy. So I qualify. Everybody say I qualify. Yes, indeed. Watch this. Watch this. And find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Help will show up just when I need it. I can go to bed. Help will show up when I need it. He's not going to fail me. He's never failed anybody. So I know I'm not going to be the first. Help will show up when I need it. Amen. Now next week we're going to study how to prepare. How this regimen for preparation. Because see, my response can be a resentful response, a respectful response, or a ready response. Everybody say ready response. King Agrippa was respectful. Paul gave him the plan of God. He said, okay, let me tell you what, Paul. You almost persuaded me. I have a lot of confidence, respect. But listen, come back and we'll talk over this another time. Why take a chance on another chance? You didn't get that. Why take a chance on having another chance when you got the chance you got right now? That can be the resentful, like Jonah. Jonah said, I ain't going down there and preaching them folk. The resentful, the rich young ruler, I'm not doing that. Or you can have the ready response. The ready response is seen in Mary. Mary said, Lord, don't overshadow me. Be it unto me according to thy word. She was ready. Bartimaeus was ready. God, when he finally got Jesus' attention, the Bible says he threw off his beggar's garments. Why? Because he said, I ain't going to need these anymore. So I want to get ready. I want to be in a position of readiness for this outpouring. God told me, children, that he's about to give an outpouring of favor on your life. I want you to come to Bible study. We study in favor in the Bible study. An outpouring of favor in your life where doors will open. Things that have been closed once will open for you now. But you've got to raise your expectation. You've got to walk in faith believing that God will do it. Whenever one door closes, God has a better door for you. You got to believe that. Next time, I say next time, next time, next time. Next time we'll study being established in the word, a settled word. We'll be being excited about his sovereign will. Being able to eliminate satanic worries, embracing speaking the word, engaged in strategic work, enjoying spiritual worship, expecting supernatural wonders. Amen. That's how we're going to prepare. Now listen, listen, listen. I want you to see something as I close this. And Terry, you can get ready because I know I went over my time, had to go, but you know, we had prayed for the children today. So, but listen. I'm always amazed at the phenomena of divine appointment. What do you mean for phenomena of divine appointment? Let me tell you this. How people are unsuspecting and how they walk into an outpouring. They walk into a situation that changes their lives and the lives of so many others. Like, see, some of y'all came in today. You follow me? I mean, it's kind of like I'm going to church. This is the first Sunday of the month. I'm going to church, yeah. But see, this is an appointment. And if you got this today, if you heard this today, you walk out of here with an overshadowing where the world had beat you down and you had now began to lean this way over the world. Now you just come straight. Oh, no. I know who I am. But here's the thing. It not only affects your life, but so many other lives are hanging in the balance. Moses just thought he was tending sheep one day and was going to put out a fire. He saw a burning bush on fire. And he went over there to put out the bush, but it was an appointment with God that changed his life and millions of Jews from that moment on, of the Israelites, to change their lives. I mean, Gideon was just trying to make some food for his family hiding, and God showed up. And he became an emancipator for his people. I mean, all through the Bible, you see these situations. David was just simply going to the battlefield to take his brothers something to eat and some supplies that his daddy sent him, not knowing that it was a divine setup, and that day he would become a giant killer. I mean, this phenomena of divine appointment amazes me, how God sets us up even when we are not suspecting something supernatural and something great to happen. I remember the day I read about the supernatural, hungry in my heart for more of God, already saved, already on my way to heaven, but hungry for more of God. And I saw the supernatural. I saw it in the Bible. I had a thirst for it. And that was a setup. Little did I know that that day would change my life. That day would change my family. That day would change my church. That day would change preachers' lives all over the world. That day would change churches all over the world. It was a divine setup. Some of you been set up in here today, I'm telling you. This got your attention more than any other lesson. Even though I wasn't all that deep and all that sort of thing, the Holy Ghost reached out and he grabbed your attention. He's done it for a reason, because your family's life is hanging in the balance. Your life is hanging in the balance. Others are hanging in the balance. You cannot miss this appointment. Your life is about to change forever. Ho, ho, ho. Woo! Oh my God.